If this is your first Sunday here, and someone just dragged you here because of a baptism, every sermon is not like the one I'm about to preach. So don't think that I just picked out this topic just for you, but maybe the Holy Spirit did. All summer, we have been working our way through the book of Proverbs. Proverbs was written by the wisest man ever. That's not self-proclaimed wisest man ever. That's what God said about him. Nobody before you was as smart as you are. Nobody after you, okay? He has written Proverbs to his son. Proverbs about things that he had lived through, things that he's observed. Writing words to his son, like, this is what I want to leave you with. This is advice that I want to give you. These are warnings. And he's just pouring out his heart to his son. But there is a section in Proverbs 23 that I have never forgot. It's always stuck with me. So go ahead and open your Bibles to Proverbs 23, or it'll be up on the screen. In Proverbs 23, Solomon is going to warn his son about drinking. Drinking alcohol. Specifically, being drunk. He's going to talk about the attractive promises that alcohol is going to make to you and the harsh reality of its ending results. Proverbs 23, we're going to start in verse 19. Listen to this. He says, "My child, listen and be wise. Keep your heart on the right course. Do not carouse with the drunkards or feast with the gluttons." That's eating too much. "For they are on their way to poverty, and too much sleep clothes them in rags." Now that's fine, but this next section is what really gets me, starting in verse 29. "Who has anguish? Who has sorrow?" Rhetorical question. "Who is always fighting? Who's always complaining?" Get this. "Who has unnecessary bruises and bloodshot eyes?" I didn't look at you, Steve. That was just a side stump. Here's the answer, verse 30. "It is the one who spends long hours at the bar, in the taverns, trying out new drinks." Here's his warning, 31. "Don't gaze at the wine. You're going to look how red it is. It's going to sparkle in the cup, and it's going to go down smooth." But here's the end result, verse 32. "But in the end, it bites like a poisonous snake. It stings like a viper. You will see hallucinations, and you will say crazy things." Look at this imagery. "You will stagger like a sailor tossed at sea, clinging to the swaying mast." You get the picture. The guy's so drunk, he can't even walk straight. Look at what he's going to say. Some of you guys are going to relate to this. 35. "And you will say, 'They hit me, but I didn't feel it.'" It's in the Bible. "I didn't even know it when they beat me up." And here is the vicious cycle. "When will I wake up so I can have another drink?" I read and reread that section until it sinks in. Like, even partying looks appealing at the start, but it hurts everyone involved in the end. Like, you could watch 100 advertisements for booze and never find one that has a venomous snake at the end. It's just not there. It's the young fit. They're the ones that are getting drunk. No, it's not. The imagery that he plays with here stuck with me. It's the imagery of playing with a venomous snake. You might be able to grab it by the tail once. You might be able to skate twice, but eventually the thing will bite you. I have been bitten by that snake. So an honest conversation here, and prove me wrong, but I have never met anyone who said, "Jason, you know, my life was all going downhill, and then I found alcohol, and it's just been smooth sailing ever since. It's what I was missing out on. couldn't wait. No, never. I've never heard that. It's always the opposite. Things were pretty good until I met alcohol. It's always the opposite, and there is no end to the stories of destruction and devastation that it leaves behind. We will get to the proper view, the biblical view of alcohol in a bit, but I need you to feel the dangers of drunkenness. I need you to feel it, especially in Seneca, Kansas. All over the Bible, drunkenness is an abomination to God. Isaiah chapter 5 puts it this way, verse 11 and 12. What sorrow for those who get up early in the morning looking for a drink. You start early, spend long evenings drinking wine to make themselves flaming drunk. Next verse. They furnish wine and lovely music at their grand parties. The lyre, the harp, the tambourine. We don't even have those anymore. Let's just say AC/DC, okay? But look at the next verse. We furnish wine and we have parties and we got loud music. They never think about what the Lord is doing. They never notice. Or Isaiah 5:22. You guys will relate to this one. What sorrow for those who are heroes at drinking. What? And they boast and they brag about all the alcohol they can hold. How come that became a cool thing?
I drink you under the table.
Wasn't looking at you, son. So up on the screen here, just plainly saying it, drunkenness is an outright sin. And it is not fitting for someone who claims to follow Christ. It is black and white. Drunkenness in the Bible destroys people's lives. It's very dangerous, but it is even more dangerous today for one particular reason. They didn't drive back then. We have cars today. It's worse today than it was back then because we have cars. Now we can have innocent at risk because you don't know when to stop and you think you can make it home. I was at a meeting, this is a true story, in Nemaha County, right here, after an alcohol-related death. Big meeting, 20 people in the community, leaders, were all motivated to make a change for drunk driving and underage drinking. I think this guy was even over 21. And one of the guys who'd been there a long time, he stood up and he said, I've seen tragedies like this before. And it's the same story. You guys will get motivated to change your culture. Everybody's really sad in the moment, but just wait. And you guys will go back to your partying ways. You'll forget the tragedy. And nothing changes. I remember that. Like, what do we have to do? Drunkenness in adults makes youth want to model it. Oh, that's what adults do. And drunkenness, even in adults, makes you do stupid things and say stupid things. And somehow, with our sinful, perverted minds, we think that's cool. Like, even when I read the thing, you're so drunk, who hit me? I don't know, bruises? I don't know, when can we do it again? Some of you teenagers are thinking, yeah, those are the cool kids. The wisest man ever said, drunks are fools. Just to give you some quick stats, 170,000 deaths per year from alcohol-related incidences in America. 5 million ER visits every year from alcohol related. Number one leading cause of preventable deaths is alcohol related. Bet you guys didn't know this. Alexander the Great, great military conqueror, statues of him. You guys know his name. He founded Alexandria. It's still one of the seven wonders of the world. The lighthouse at Alexandria. He had a military reign, and he conquered from Asia to Mesopotamia. Alexander the Great. You guys know where this story's going? I bet you don't. They didn't teach you this. Died at 32 years old in 323 BC. Died at 32. We talk about his life. We don't talk about his death. Thousands of years later, we herald him as Alexander the Great. But according to the History Channel, best we know is alcohol took him out. 32 years old, organ failure because of his party lifestyle. When they would win a victory, they would throw a party. I just need you to feel this. Evangeline Booth, that's a lady's name from the Salvation Army. I can't improve on this. She says, nothing has drained more blood, sold more houses, plunged more people into bankruptcy, slain more children, snapped more wedding rings, defiled more innocent, blinded more eyes, twisted more limbs, wrecked more men, disgraced more women, broken more hearts, blasted more lives, and dug more graves than any other poison that has ever swept across the world. Why don't you tell us what you really think? I just need you to feel the dangers of alcohol and drunkenness. Now, to be super honest, the Bible doesn't teach that you must totally abstain from wine. I have to be fair. Jesus turned water into wine, John chapter 2, and it was a boatload. Psalm 104:15, scripture that says, wine gladdens the heart of man, because it does. Isaiah 55 speaks of new wine in the new heavens and the new earth. I can't wait to give Charlie his first glass. My boss is a total abstainer. He would not drink cough syrup that had alcohol in it. But here it is. All sin is taking something God created as good, a blessing, and perverting it and abusing it until it's a sin. Food is good. Too much food is gluttony. But I would rather have the driver in the oncoming car ate too much than he drank too much. I've never heard of anybody crash because they had too many tacos. But a 12-pack of beer is over the limit. Robert Stein, guy that I look up to, he said, wine is a blessing to those who use it rightly and a curse to those who use it without measure. So true. Now, the big danger with me even giving you that little section about what the Bible properly views alcohol is, the big danger is every one of you who has a drinking problem don't think that they have one. That's the big danger. So for you to self-evaluate and think, oh, that's not me, that's zero help. Or the common delusion, you've heard this one, I could quit at any moment. Or I only went too far at certain times, at this event or that event. Or I had a bad week. We all have bad weeks, okay? I'll stop there. I'm going to change, okay? I'm going to change. Yes. I meant that because I was going to make a crack about VBS is coming up. But my change is I'm going to repent of looking at VBS as a drain and really be excited about it. That's just my little plug. We're setting up after church. So what could God possibly say to you to give you the clearest warning of where this road leads? Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to start in 19. I'm just going to read it through and then we'll be done. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexually immorality, impurity, lust, pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you, this is straight out of the Bible. Let me tell you again, as I told you before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no law against these things. And those who belong to Christ have nailed the passions and desires to their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there, dying to my old self, raised to a new life. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every area of our life. So I want to say this at the end. Jesus holds out his hand to the drunk. He offers salvation to the drunk. And I know because I was one. In 2009, I got way too drunk with the roofers. There's not a too drunk, it's just a drunk, okay? Drunk's bad. And my kids were less than 1 year old, and I said, this is not the kind of dad that I want to be. And so I just made the decision right there. Not going to be this kind. So Christ died for the drunk that they might leave behind that life, one that holds alcohol as all of its answers that only God can give. Leave behind that for a better life that follows in the footsteps of Jesus. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the scriptures that warn us. Would you help us to turn to you more than things that you give? I pray that nobody walks out of here encouraged to drink. I pray that they have a proper view of seeing alcohol as you see it. We ask that you do these things because of the honor of your name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.